Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this episode of Rabbit Hole Recap. Matt and I just had a high qual 75-minute rip. A lot of software updates in this one, so if you're running a lot of Bitcoin software, you're definitely going to want to listen to the end. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital. You freaks already know all about them, but if you don't, let me tell you about them. They're providing Bitcoiners with financial services with a security-first mindset. A lot of their products revolve around multisig, particularly their Vault product, which is a 2 or 3 multisig product that allows you to engage in a multisig quorum with Unchained, in which you hold 2 or 3 keys, so you always have control over the funds, over the UTXOs in your multisig Vault. You can use a Trezor or a Ledger with cold cards soon to come, soon TM, so you hold 2 or 3 keys, so you can always move your funds out or in by yourself. But if you ever need Unchained there to sign the second in the 2 of 3 quorum, they have a key as well, and they can sign that for you. On top of that, they have their collateralized loan program, where you put Bitcoin up as collateral, again, in a multisig wallet, so that you can prove that the collateral is staying where Unchained is saying that it's staying. You put the collateral up, you get same-day U.S. dollar liquidity. So friends don't let friends sell Bitcoin. If you don't want to do that, you can take out an Unchained collateralized loan. On top of that, they're working on a bunch of open source projects. The multisig quorums that we're explaining in this ad have been open source in the form of Caravan, and Caravan allows you to create multisigs by yourself. They've open sourced the solution at Unchained, giving back to the community. On top of that, they're working on open source protocols like Hermit, Slip39, and they've got an incredible blog series. Parker Lewis, Will Cole, Joe Kelly, Drew Bonsall, their developer Buck, whose last name is escaping me right now, wrote an incredible piece on how to use the Lightning Network as a private COVID tracing app. Very interesting piece. So go check out all this at www.unchained-capital.com. That's www.unchained-capital.com. This rip is also brought to you by our good friends at the motherfucking Cash App. You freaks should already know all about them, but if you don't, let me let you know that they're really allowing individuals and helping individuals to stack sats, send sats, receive sats, and sell sats if they need to. They're also making sats the standard, so we're not buying fractions of a Bitcoin anymore. We're buying whole goddamn sats. If you freaks don't know yet, there's 100 million sats in each Bitcoin. Sats is short for Satoshi. Get your lingo down. The Cash App already has it down. On top of the sat stacking, sending, receiving, and selling if you need to, they've also got Cash App Investing, which is allowing you stack slivers of stonks. If you're interested in the stonk market and you want to invest in a particular stonk, but it's a little too expensive, Cash App is letting you stack a sliver, as little as $1. Cash App Investing is a subsidiary of Square, member SIPC, because Cash App is directly connected to your bank account, there's no 4 to 5 day waiting periods to stack sats or stack slivers of stonks. You can start doing it immediately today. On top of that, Cash App may even be your bank account. They're becoming a neobank. They're offering account numbers and routing numbers for individuals, so you can get paychecks directly deposited to the Cash App. Huge things going on. On top of that, they got their boost program. Make sure you use the code STACKINGSATS when you download the Cash App. You're going to get $10, and $10 is going to go to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. That's Owls Lacrosse. Use the code STACKINGSATS. Download the Cash App and enjoy this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What is up, freaks? Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt. Matt and I are here for this week's rip of Rabbit Hole Recap, coming right off an episode with Kevin Mulcrone, who created the Lily Wallet. Back-to-back pods. Matt, how are you feeling about this one? Whew.
Feeling good. I'm feeling good. Marty keeps... I guess last week it was a late rip. But Marty, he does early rips and then admonishes me for drinking early. Well, you shouldn't have an early rip then, Marty.
It's a great beach day, like I said. I got to catch that back end of the beach day. I'm sorry. I'm still hearing myself echo, so I don't know if that's coming through your mic.
It's definitely not coming through the mic because the mic's not connected to the computer.
All right, good. Just want to make sure.
That's just something you're going to have to deal with because my Linux machine does not accept Bluetooth, so I am wired right now. But the freaks definitely don't hear the echo.
I just want to make sure they don't. Okay. How's your week been?
My week's been fantastic. I was in the woods. Yeah. It was good.
Good time in the woods. Good to get away.
Very good time. Be close to family.
Uh-oh. Right before we hit record, we were complaining about the fire trucks, and they're still going off. Sorry, freaks. If you're in the car, you're not being pulled over. You may be, actually, but you may want to wait 30 seconds to make sure, or just look in your rearview mirror.
I fucking hate that, Marty, just triggering all the freaks driving in the car.
We've got, sorry. You know, I can't control the emergencies where I am. I have no control over that. And recording inside just isn't as good. We got a nice ocean breeze here. It's a beautiful day. Blue skies. Vibes are high. And the Bitcoin price, according to Clark Moody's Bitcoin dashboard, is $9,068 on the dot. We're at block 637,372. We had a difficulty adjustment yesterday, I believe, early morning yesterday. Like, I think it depends on how you want to frame this. It's like the lowest difficulty adjustment ever.
Ever?
Outside of like the early parts of the network when basically difficulty didn't adjust because there wasn't enough people, but it was less than 0.0 or it was like 0.1%.
Really?
Negative.
That.
Yeah. It went underscored. Zane Pocock pointed that out. I'm going to get the exact. I'm going to BTC.com.
Is this bullish for Bitcoin?
I think it was... No, it says zero, saying 0.00 change on BTC.com too. So yeah, like the flat hash rate.
Sats are my stable coin.
After a 15% upward adjustment the prior period. So
we'd be remiss if the previous adjustment before that was minus whatever, a lot.
Minus 9.29. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a flat difficulty adjustment, pretty rare. I'm looking at the BTC.com site.
Fuck BTC.com.
They have good data. They have good mining.
You know who owns them, right?
Isn't it? Aren't they F2 pool?
It's Bitmain. Bitcoin.
Bitmain. Yeah. Yeah, but they have good historical data on difficulty adjustments.
In fuck a nice, BTC.com.
Concise fashion.
Don't hey, use man. It.
You can use it for difficulty adjustment data. It's pretty good.
I'd rather not have the data.
What else do we got here? It's been a pretty quiet week. This is a heavy release episode. A lot of new software being released and updated.
A lot of updates are good.
There are currently 25,980 transactions in Clark Moody's mempool. The fees versus the reward right now are 8.63%, up a little bit higher from last week. I believe it was at like 4% or 5%. Total capacity of the Lightning Network, the public capacity is 966.13 BTC. some updates there, some interesting attacks discovered on the Lightning Network this week, or not discovered, but released on the report on a potential attack was released this week. I think the people who wrote the report have known about it for some time. We will get to that. What else are you looking at stat-wise, Matt? Anything stick out to you?
What does Whirlpool look like right now?
Whirlpool is... I just got to make my own.
You can, like, add favorites on Clark Moody's dashboard.
Here it is. Samurai Whirlpool.
I don't have any of this shit up, so...
Unspent capacities, 1,154.34 BTC.
That's pretty good.
Spent cycle output, or TX0 volume of the last 30 days has been 462.24 Bitcoin, and there have been 7,300 cycles in the last 30 days.
What's interesting is, so we just finished the month. The last 3 months of Whirlpool, the big pool, the whale pool, the 50 million sat pool, half a Bitcoin pool, hit new all-time highs the last 3 months, and then this month fell off a cliff. And the reverse happened on the two smaller pools. The two smaller pools both hit they were higher than last month. They both increased, and the whale pool dropped off.
Interesting.
Just interesting thing to note.
You think that's...
I don't want to read too much into it, but you know, the whales got their, you know, they got their mixes in, they got their coin joins in, and now they're just sitting in the remix queue waiting, rather than adding more liquidity to the pool. What about the Lightning Tor percentage?
That is 45.5%.
Ooh, that might be the highest it's been on an RHR that we've talked about.
I think it is. It's been hovering around 42, 43.
That is
good.
It's got a little
bump there.
If you're running a Lightning node, it should be Tor only.
Yeah. Impressive or interesting to see. Again, we'll get into that attack on the Lightning network.
It doesn't look good.
It does not look good in a little bit. Back to Samurai, though. I think it's a good point in time to walk users through a problem I had this week and had to ask you about. My wallet was stuck on an initializing Tor loop. I felt lost. I had to reach out to my Uncle Jim here, Matt, and ask him what I needed to do. And as somebody who's never used an Android device before, which I assume some of you out there listening may be in the same shoes as I am, especially if you wanted to use Graphene and Samurai coming from an iPhone world. You have to shut down the app and restart it. I thought I was stuck.
Specifically force close. You force close,
yes.
Right?
Force close, yes.
So if you long, after you close out of the app, if you long hold the icon, it opens up a...
Get info or something like that.
App info dialogue. You click app info. And then you can force stop it. That's the best way to restart any kind of app in the Android ecosystem. But with Samurai, it is still beta. So I end up having to do that a lot. You will have to do that a lot. Just keep that in mind.
Duly noted.
And just Tor in general is unreliable. And on mobile, it's even less reliable.
Yeah, especially if you have bad internet connection as well.
Yeah, poor internet connection does not help for all of these things. But no matter what, just remember, like, it doesn't mean your funds are at risk. Like, if it shows a zero balance, it's probably a dojo issue and you have to restart your dojo or something. But don't, like, go erasing your wallet and trying to just ask. Just ask people. I find that a lot where people see like a zero balance and then they go and make things more difficult for our troubleshooting when they should just reach out.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Both of our DMs are open.
Yes, they are. Every now and then you got to tap Uncle Jim on the shoulder, say, hey, what's going on here? Lead me in the right direction. We got a shout out. Let's get to the shout out before we get to the list. It's from Aranda, Anon listener. Oh, hell. I mean, hello. We are from the planet Flatulentas. We have waited millennia. We have waited a millennia for your primitive monkey ape brains to discover rock hard currency, which is why we had to send someone. You're welcome. We have reviewed your historical records and wish you much luck with defeating Vegeta. I said it right? Yeah, Vegeta. If he does not destroy you, we will invite you to join our federation when you achieve Type 1. And do not fear. We have contracted the lizard people to monitor the situation very closely. Like, super closely. Like, they run Blockstream close. Additionally, we have taken a poll, and the collective of our planet has decided that you now be known as Marty Bentcoin and Matt Hodel. Thank you from planet Flatulentas.
Thank you, Freaks.
Weirdest one we've gotten to date. A good weird. I like that one.
I mean, I'm not going to speak in absolutes. I'm not sure if that's the weirdest one, but it's up there.
The penis one regardless. Was pretty weird, too. Yeah. Yeah, the having to say penis about 200 times straight was not fun.
Matt Hodel.
Matt Hodel. Hodel. Bentcoin. Come on, I think you'd come up with a better name. Are you really, like, sophisticated aliens are coming up with a weak name like that?
Bentcoin?
I don't know if I like that.
Never buy Bentcoin. That sounds like a shit coin.
It's a shit coin. Dump it. Dump
Trending
it.
Trending to zero.
Blockstream was mentioned in that shout out, and that's a good segue into our first subject, which is the fact that there was a liquid UTXO expiration incident, which sort of highlighted a centralization factor on liquid, which is the fact that it's like a 2 of 3 multi-sig, right, that they sweep.
Well, I think we've been talking about this for a fucking long time, and I know the freaks that listen to my 6102, not impression, my 6102 episode with Stefan, where I was the voice of 6102 and he wrote everything. And he was very critical of Liquid's security model. It is custodial-ish. You know, I don't know a better way to put it. Like, that's what it is. Liquid is usually 11 of 15 multi-sig right now with their Federation partners. So if the Bitcoin that you put into Liquid is locked in a multi-sig of 11 of 15, but in these emergency conditions, it goes to a 2 of 3 multi-sig, and all three keys are controlled by Blockstream. So that's not good. That's not a good situation. They said they were aware of this vulnerability. They said that Corona prevented them from patching it as effectively as they would like to patch it. They say a patch is on the way. But from my uneducated, strong opinion mindset, if it can move to 2 of 3, if there's a way to move it to this 2 of 3 multisig that just Blockstream controls, they're gonna have problems on their hands, right? Because if they can force it into this 2 of 3, if Blockstream can end up in a situation where they can make sure that it goes into this emergency mode, then that means they can control the funds at will. Right. Well, and if they can control the funds at will, they can be pressured into compromising those funds. In this case scenario, this has happened many times before, but always with small balances. But someone pegged in 870 Bitcoin and that 870 Bitcoin expired moving into the emergency 2 of 3. And that 2 of 3 is controlled strictly by Blockstream. They say they have it in very secure distributed locations. But you're trusting them on that, and they do have full control at that point. And this was 40 minutes. It was like 40 minutes that they had the control. But these types of little centralization situations are exactly where governments pressure you, right? That's exactly where they come in and they go, we know you can push it into emergency mode. And if you can push it into emergency mode, we want to seize the funds. And this is where it gets sticky. So for their best interests and for the best interests of their users, they should make it as difficult as possible to get into this fucking emergency mode, in my humble opinion.
Well, it's not even really difficult to put it in this emergency, right? You just have to let the time lock run out.
Yeah, it has something to do with like how the Federation, like if the Federation doesn't update the transaction, doesn't sweep the transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain, it goes into this emergency mode. And Adam Back, I always call him Bach, I don't know. Adam Back released a blog post that everyone should read. But I still, we've said this whole time, like if you're a trader, absolutely, you know, it's a way better trust model than trusting a single exchange. But if you're not a trader, this is, you know, not your keys, not your coins territory. This is, you know, something that's very different.
Yeah, I think the way Adam described it is sort of like a bug in the HSM model, which is their emergency model, in which the expiry sort of warned the user after the time lock had expired instead of before, which it was intended to do. So it seems like a UX issue there, but still, they did have to use 2 or 3 keys to recover the funds. And James,
no,
Pressage,
I don't think they did. I'm not sure if they had to use. I'm not positive if they had to use those keys to actually move them back in. I think the Federation might be able to move them back into the 11 of 15. But the key is that during those 40 minutes, the 2 of 3 had the ability to spend them, right?
Okay, yeah.
And whether, you know, and the other thing is like the whole, the disclosure process was fucked. And I think they know that. So I'm not going to like lecture about it. But like James Prestwich, our boy, he stumbled on it. He posted on Twitter. They shat on him to begin with. And then they were like, oh shit, this is real. And then they like kind of, you know, whitewashed it a little bit.
Tweets were deleted.
Yeah, it was like whitewashed. It was, you know, we've known of this vulnerability, but we didn't tell anybody about it. Like, that's not how you do this, right? It's supposed to be open and transparent. We don't want this, like, shitcoiny tactics.
No, and you freaks will see in the blog post by Autumn. Now you got me saying his name.
Adam Back.
That
Autumn Bach.
The last paragraph is about improving our communications, but not a good look. Not a good look for Liquid as they attempt to accumulate users and get people to peg in their Bitcoin. Hey, learning lesson nonetheless. Speaking of vulnerabilities, we alluded to it already. Earlier this week, a team of developers released a white paper on a potential attack on the Lightning Network, a systemic attack on the Lightning Network, known as Flood and Loot. And basically, this attack would entice individuals to close channels all at once, or attempt to close channels all at once, and the congestion that would cause on-chain would allow the attacker to target channels and sort of siphon off funds as the on-chain network is being flooded with transactions from the Lightning Network.
So basically,
the way I understand it at a high level.
Yeah, so basically, like, the attacker is cheating you on the Lightning Network. And so then the way you're able to fight that cheating is by closing it on-chain, right? And then if they do it to enough channels at the same time, then it causes a shit ton of congestion on-chain. And then your time lock expiry goes out of date because it took so long for it to confirm.
Yes.
And the attacker has both control of the sending node and the receiving node, and they're attacking the routing nodes in between. From my, once again, this is the same thing, you know, just trying to understand it as best as I can. This seems pretty bad. This seems pretty bad, and I would like more educated people than me, smarter people than me, to allay my fears a little bit here, but this does not seem good in terms of the Lightning Network threat model. You can increase your time lock delay, which I think is kind of like a nice little Band-Aid on the problem, but I am a little bit concerned here. I don't see a very easy solution to this type of attack. It seems like it's a very hard to fix attack, if possible at all. It does not seem good.
So here's what the authors of the white paper suggest to help mitigate this attack. But again, I agree with you. This does not sound good. And this sort of echoes what Antoine Riar was alluding to on the episode that we recorded that dropped on Monday. Go check that out if you haven't. But he's been diving deep into Lightning, and he sort of communicated to me that he thinks it's going to take a lot longer to build Lightning out than people assume right now, especially if you want it to be secure enough to be locking up funds, a great amount of funds at that. And so back to the mitigations, right now the authors are saying that you could reduce the maximum number of unresolved HTLCs. So that would help mitigate the flood, I imagine. And earlier closure of channels. So the time victims have to claim their funds is determined by an implementation-specific parameter. So there's some things that could be changed in the implementation.
You can adjust that parameter. So I increase that parameter on my. Yes. So on a positive note, I run two routing nodes. I haven't lost money yet, but I do feel uneasy. I feel a bit uneasy here, freaks. You know, I think I'm vulnerable. I think my coin is vulnerable on those routing nodes, but I've raised the time lock parameter on my channels. If it's an attacker, they can open a channel and refuse your increase of the time lock parameter, which kind of negates that as a real fix in any kind of way.
Yeah. It's sort of confusing in the paper. Like, the bullet point says earlier closure of channels, but you really want to extend the time it takes to close that channel. A little confusing. Another mitigation they put out there is immediate release of HTLC claiming transactions. So a node can and should release these transactions immediately along with the commitment, so you don't have to wait for a confirmation, I think. Then you get into like zero com stuff. It seems pretty bad. And then reputation based behavior, which is sort of social. You're depending on social parameters there, channels parameter.
Greatly affects potential. Sounds super centralizing. Like, I'm going to decide who I open my channels with.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, then I'm a routing node, and I'm just only opening channels with people I know. Sounds really cliquish. I don't like that.
Is Lightning Network dead?
No, but it's definitely still a test. It's definitely still a test. People should be careful with it.
It's raw. It's very raw right now. No,
the the freaks will know that we're there with them. We're there with you. If you're fucking around with Lightning, we are also fucking around with Lightning. And if we get fucked, you get fucked. We get fucked together. That's the one guarantee that TFTC provides, you know? We're not Laura Shin. We own Bitcoin. We use our Bitcoin.
Put skin in the game. Skin in the game. But yeah, going back to what Antoine was explaining to me, there's still a lot to figure out in the Lightning Network, especially with, or especially in terms of security. But with that being said, he was also extremely optimistic about the future of Lightning Network in the medium to long term, and the use cases that it would enable and utility that it would provide to Bitcoiners. But hey, this is to be expected, though, right? This Lightning's what, three and a half years old now at this point? Two and a half years old?
Extremely optimistic sounds good to me. I'm cautiously optimistic, I would put it at.
Yeah. I think that's probably a better way to describe it, too. I probably just put words in his mouth. You know how those core devs are.
I listened to that episode. That was a great episode, by the way.
The French accent wasn't too much?
It was a little bit. I tried my best. I had to lower my speed that I listened to it.
I did as well when I was re-listening to it. But yeah, shout out to Antoine. I wish him well on his journey back to France. It was great having him in New York. And yeah, if you did listen to that, he's working on a ton of dope shit. So if you haven't, go listen and learn from somebody much smarter than me. We got a bunch of updates. We mentioned
it. I always feel like, before we do that, I always feel like the true legends, you know, they have good OPSEC, like he does, and they get less traction on their episodes. So you should definitely go listen to that one. That is a good, it's a very good episode. And yeah, people don't, you know, they read the name, they're like, I don't know who that fucking guy is, and they don't listen.
Yeah, it proves that they don't read the mailing list. They're not on the Bitcoin Dev mailing list. Yeah, he's not on Twitter, so I think a lot of people saw that. It was like, who's this nobody?
Not a nobody. Go check it out.
Definitely not a nobody. I'm counting here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 software updates. Very bullish. Let's just run through them. Let's do it one at a time. HWI version 1.1.2 has been released. I believe this is the first release since the Treasure firmware update. Now it's compatible with Trezor and compatible with Ledger Bitcoin app 1.4.0.
Yes.
And it's fixed the PSBT problem, apparently. Shout out to Andrew Chow and anybody who reviewed that release for getting it out there. I know there was a little bit of worry between that release and the Trezor firmware bug or Trezor firmware update that when they released that bug as well.
I mean, worry is the wrong word, but Trezor just didn't work with Core.
Yeah.
And anything else that relied on HWI.
Annoyance is probably a better word.
Yeah. Frustration.
Yes. It's a pretty big, long-awaited Electrum version 4.0 beta 1. They released the beta and then got quick feedback that they needed to update it because there was a bug that was making things crash, correct?
Yeah, we talked about this on the pod, the crashes that were happening. Fixed.
Yeah, fixed. So that's updated. BTC Pay Server version 1.0.5.0 is out.
Massive release.
Yeah, I won't read the show notes or the release notes.
Just blindly read the release notes for us, Marty.
They got pull payments. It looks like they've implemented some good accounting software for freelancers, refunds, which is pretty cool. Not going to start reading those notes, but
I don't get how the pull payments worked. Have you figured that out yet?
No. Sender creates a pull payment. I'm reading the release notes now.
Read it.
Specifies the maximum amount that can be pulled out of their wallet and shares a link to a public page with a receiver.
Kind of like that idea. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I still think like the best way to do Bitcoin subscriptions is you just do yearly. You just do yearly, and the fact that you can't pull payments is a feature, not a bug. You just they pay you yearly, and if they don't want to pay you, they don't fucking pay you. You know, that's not, it's not the end of the world. I'm sorry, your business model relies on predatory tactics, and you wanna pull payments directly out of the fucking credit card. Sucks for you. This is better money. Like, the user needs to approve it. You know, that's fine by me. This seems more like it's for contractors and stuff. Like, you have a contractor, they send you, or you send them, like, the ability to pull for a one-time payment. I think that's the proper understanding of what's going on here. But this is a major-ass release for BTC Pay, and they had a great GIF for the release. I don't know, did you see the GIF? And Hands Jail had made a GIF for them, and it was quite good.
I have not seen the GIF. You're gonna have to link it to me.
Okay, I'll send it to you later.
The freaks. Yes, it's big. So they leveled up pay join, made fee selection, the UI around fee selection better, and launched the Greenfield API, which is their attempt to build a straightforward API for their users. So,
and they improved the wallet, right?
Yeah. So the fee selection, mainly. Yeah. You can natively open BIP21 payment links as well. I think that helps with pay join. So, big release.
The juggernaut that is the BTC Pay server team continues to fucking roll, and I love it.
They're crashing. I feel like I had something to add, but I'm forgetting. We're just going to roll on here. That's way down the list. Zeus version 0.3.0 RC1 has been released. Did not look into those release notes. Do you have any comments on them?
I have no comments off the top of my head. I love Zeus. Zeus is good.
Zeus is good. We also love Polar here. Shout out to Jamal, who's been working on this. Polar version 1.0.1 is officially out. You can go to lightningpolar.com and check that out. If you guys don't know what Polar is, it's basically a one-click Bitcoin Lightning network for local app development and testing. So allows you to easily replicate Lightning apps before you push them live so that you can test and iterate and experiment with Lightning before you push it live to production and create like a good UI. And apparently developers really like it because it saves them a lot of time. This is a time-saving app.
Polar is maintained by our boy Jamal. He's fucking dope. Polar is dope. This update's a very simple update. It updated to the latest Lightning versions of all the implementations.
Huh.
Nice and simple.
That's what you want to see. Blue Wallet version 5.4.4 is out. I have this tweet up. Kobo Vault hardware wallet is supported. They've got air gap PSBTs with animated QR codes. They added Entropy via dice rolls and Entropy via coin flips, which is pretty sweet to see.
And a cool UX on top of that for that shit.
Yeah, they fixed scanning QR with a mount, a bunch of stuff. We'll link to that as well.
I figured out what Zeus did, the update.
What'd they do?
They added two new features for L&D Hub, which is like a way to do custodial with your own node, which isn't really custodial if it's your node, but if you Uncle Jim it, it is custodial. And they allowed users to change units on the send view. Oh, and they changed the icon for your phone.
Better icon.
Hopefully better. I don't think I updated. I have to update that.
Get on it, dude. Get on it. What else is updated here? We've got Join Market version 0.6.3.1 is out. if you're using Joy Market, go update that. I'm done reading release notes.
Oh, no, the Joy Market one is a big one. They added support for the way they do pay joins so that they can support BTC Pay. So they added BIP21 support so that you can do pay joins with BTC Pay, I'm pretty sure now. And they added the back end for Fidelity Bonds, which we've been talking about for a while on this here podcast.
That's pretty big. And in the release notes, they remind you that Python 3 is required. Python 2 is no longer supported, and this will probably be the last release supporting Python 3.5 or lower. So just be aware of that as you update that. Tails version 4.8 is released, and I'm assuming this is a big release after the vulnerability that was released last week.
So I guess the new Zeus logo is just, the new Zeus icon is just a lightning bolt.
Simple.
What'd you say, Tails?
Yeah, Tails update. I'm assuming it's fixing or trying to mitigate that attack that we talked about
unrelated.
Last week.
We still don't know. We still don't know what that attack was. The Facebook attack.
Well, it says we disabled the unsafe browser by default.
That's different.
Okay.
So Tails. So Tails used to be everything you did through Tails. So Tails is run by the Tor project. Everything you did through Tails used to go through Tor no matter what. But the issue was if you were like signing into a public Wi-Fi or something, you needed, you know, when you sign into a public Wi-Fi, like the little window pops up and you're supposed to put in your credentials or whatever. On the like paid Wi-Fi, there's certain Wi-Fis you needed to like put in an email address or something like that. It wasn't compatible with their Tor browser, so they added a browser that didn't go through Tor, and they specifically called it the unsafe browser because they wanted people to realize that it wasn't going through Tor, but it defaulted to on, and the user flow was poor there. It confused people, and then people were exposing their IP address and they didn't realize they were exposing their IP address because in the past you had to really go out of your way to not use Tor. So what they did now is they made it not default. So you have to enable it separately. And then the other things they updated with Tails is just like they updated all the packages, all the things. Firefox got upgraded, all the different, you know, Tor browser got upgraded, everything got upgraded. Thunderbird got upgraded. Tor browser in general also got a release update. So if you use Tor browser, go update. If you don't use Tor browser, you should use Tor browser. Except for ClearNet sites, because if you use ClearNet sites with Tor browser, then you're trusting your exit node. But if you use it with only onion sites, you're not. So just keep that in mind. Another added nuance to this whole fucking thing.
So much nuance. Hit your bingo boards, freaks.
Did you hear that? One of the freaks called me out because in the last episode.
You had already said it.
I said nuance like five times. I re-listened to it. I said it like five times before like the 35th minute. I said nuance. I was like, bingo. So I don't even know. Maybe I said nuance already.
I think we have at least once. This is a pretty big update for Fully Noted. You can now create your own wallets within Fully Noted. If you freaks were using it before, you know that you had to create wallets and seed phrases using your Bitcoin CLI and your node. A little cumbersome. Now you can create wallets within the app itself. It's a pretty big step up.
And even more importantly, this update brings the ability to recover wallets from pretty much any other wallet you can recover.
Yes.
And it'll search the derivation paths for you if you just give them a seed, a passphrase, and the account number that you've used. So the standard is zero. Every time you add a new account, some wallets call it wallet. Or something like that, but like you add a new account, you have to switch that number, and it should be able to recover it. This includes all Samurai derivation paths, post-mix, pre-mix, regular wallet, regular SegWit wallet. So that's pretty cool. One thing I would comment, it is a little bit confusing that they both have Fully Noted and Fully Noted 2 both being maintained at the same time, different products. It's confusing. You know, I know team. Fontaine listens to the pod, so I meant to reach out to you, but here I'm doing it now. And if you don't listen, I will reach out to you separately. It is a little bit confusing, but I do love your work. So I do appreciate it. Don't take it the wrong way.
Yes. And if you've been using Fully Noted, do not worry. All the past functionalities and the way the wallet works still works, that you can still get those functionalities as well. So nothing is forcing you to do anything differently. It looks like priorities are shifting a little bit. That's it. We made it through.
Those are all our updates.
Those are all the updates. Those are all the updates, yeah. Trying to think if there's any off the top of my mind that I can think of, but there aren't. This story out of Australia is to be expected, right? So news is coming out. Screenshots of emails are coming out. The tax authority in Australia is making cryptocurrency, quote unquote, owners who have sold or bought stuff with their cryptocurrency that they owe taxes in Australia. So the Australian tax authority is sending out warnings. And what I think is interesting about this is it highlights that hodlers are immune to this. If you're just buying and hodling,
They're just sending this letter out to everyone they know who owns Bitcoin or shitcoins. And yeah, we saw this already in the United States. We should probably see this in countries around the world. My real question is how does Craig Wright respond to this?
Whew.
As an Australian citizen?
Pleads insanity? I don't know.
Does all of a sudden he doesn't own the 1 million Bitcoin?
Right. Well, he can't access it. He's waiting for the Tulip Trust courier to deliver that key that gives him access. So he's sort of shit out of luck, right?
He's full of shit is what he is. And he's probably telling the Australian tax office that he owns no Bitcoin or very few Bitcoin or not Satoshi's coins. I'll tell you that much.
No. One thing we didn't touch on, but somebody dove into the Statoshi. Is this Satoshi? No, that's a LOPS website. What was the research that sort of try to identify Satoshi, the miner?
Oh, fuck. It was WizSec who did it.
Yeah.
The Potoshi.
Potoshi. Yes, that's what it is. The Potoshi research. And somebody,
the Potoshi nonces.
Yeah. Somebody did some deeper, took a deeper dive into that and highlighted that Satoshi would wait like 5 minutes, or the Potoshi nonces, or whoever was in control of the miners that created those nonces, was like altruistic and would wait and try to let somebody else mine for a little bit before hashing SHA-256 stuff to add a block. So it seems like, if we are to assume that the Potoshi nonces do belong to Satoshi, that he was definitely trying to help distribution in the early
Marty
days.
Marty isn't even drinking.
I'm not.
Yeah, Craig would never do that.
No.
And just sign a fucking message, bro. This is what I've been saying since 2017. It is, let me check my calendar, 2020, okay? Full of shit. I'm done talking about this motherfucker.
Officially halfway through the year, freaks. Congratulations. We made it halfway.
We made it.
Into the craziest year of my life, at least. Not of my life, but just looking outside at the world.
It's the craziest year of my life, probably, except for year one, where I was birthed. Which is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Do you remember what year one was like for you?
No, I just imagine like humanity was created, right? Like when you create a human, like that's, I mean, you're the one who's living in Mr. Dad dopamine rush. Like that's pretty crazy to me, right? So I'm gonna give that some credence. But besides that, this is definitely the craziest year I've been alive.
Yeah. It is fun watching this little human grow, and it's crazy how fast they grow and how fast they develop a personality. My son is quickly becoming cognizant and aware, and it's starting to scare me. We cannot leave him on the changing table anymore. He's starting to roll and roll and roll, and I think he should start crawling soon, which is another scary thought. But life is beautiful. This is why we live, right? To keep the cycle going. Go out, go forth, and build strong families, freaks. It's what the world needs right now.
On another positive note, Our Lady Janine released her first ever This Month in Bitcoin Privacy newsletter, which was fucking fantastic. And I fully support 100%. The freaks know I'm super biased on this topic, but this was a very good read. She did a very good job, and I'm very excited for what she has in store for us coming forward. And it's going to include a podcast. She has a Panopticast is coming out, which is a podcast focused on privacy. So I'm very excited for that. Everyone should go read that. Everyone should go support her. Fuck yes.
Very thorough newsletter, hosted on GitHub, of course. And I really love her tagline. That one privacy girl writing about privacy publicly. I think that's a nice little tagline there. Shout out to you, Janine.
In that same vein,
we appreciate the fuck out of you. In that same vein, not sure if you freaks have been aware of this, but Bitcoiner Joe Rogers or John Rogers? It's Joe, right?
It's Joe, our boy Joe. Yeah. He's a freak.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry we haven't highlighted this more in the past, but we're highlighting it now.
So he has bitcoinwords.github.io, where he gathers the best Bitcoin content month to month and puts it on GitHub for anybody who wants to access it. I think it's a really cool project, just trying to open source quality content within the space and keep a nice repository of dope Bitcoin content. And this month highlighted a bunch of cool pieces that we've talked about in the bend on this podcast. Bitcoin's Mining's Three-Body Problem by Leo Zhang, Anarchy and Monarchy and Natural State. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. There's 490 minutes, excuse me, in June alone. So if you're looking for the highest quality Bitcoin content and you have nothing to read, bitcoinwords.github.io will have plenty of content for you to dive into. And this is pretty heady.
This is pretty heady.
Cool to see. Like the amount of like U.S. postal money orders being used to buy Bitcoin via BISC has gone up considerably. And there is a tutorial how to buy non-KYC Bitcoin with U.S. postal money order out there now by author at @Heady_Wook. That's why it's heady. I'm assuming this guy is, or Wook's the fish heads, or the, they're fish heads, right?
No, they're not specifically fish heads.
Oh, I thought they were.
I'm drawing a blank on the genre, but they jam love band? Music. Yeah, jam band.
They're jam band enthusiast.
Yes, and Heady Wook is our boy. Well, he's at least my boy, and he is a freak. And he wrote a very nice write-up for the rest of you freaks. If you want to try and use BISC with U.S. Postal Service money orders, which is one of the most private ways to exchange fiat short of cash, and you can use them with BISC.
Yes, you can. And you can find Heady Wook at @Heady_Wook, Wook on Twitter.
It just makes me... Heady. miss live music just that much more.
Stop bringing up the live music, please.
You will not hear it until we release the Kevin Mulcrone episode, which will probably get released sometime next week, I imagine. Marty is in charge of the release schedule. But we did talk about live music a lot, and that is one of the main things that I miss in this current crisis that we're in.
When will live music come back?
A long fucking time. It's going to start with like private shows and stuff, but like where we get these, like all the best venues in New York are the closed intimate venues, you know? It's like the very tight venues. It's like the exact opposite of physical distancing.
Yes.
And I miss them tremendously.
I miss them as well. There has been some like outdoor music down here. Some
bands.
But
even like music festivals, right? Music festivals aren't exactly, you know, the most hygienic places. If you want to talk about Wooks, they have a reputation of not being hygienic.
Yeah.
I love the lifestyle, but not hygienic at all.
Commonly referred to as dirty Wooks.
Exactly. Well, that's a little bit fucked up. You should get canceled for that, Marty.
Well, you know what? It's the truth.
I'm going to be the first co-host to get his co-host canceled.
I've always been the tag along to like Fish and Dead concerts. So there's always been like my friends who are really big Deadheads or Fish heads. Like, oh, I have an extra ticket. Do you want to come? And as you know, I like live music. So I've gone to a few of those shows, and it's not me calling this out. It's the friend that drags me along. He's like, those are the dirty Wooks. Okay. I had no idea what a Wook was until I was dragged, and then it was described to me.
It was a very special experience. I am also pretty much in that situation as well. I will say yes to pretty much anything.
Yes.
But I just love live music.
I'll never forget. I went to Dead and Company with a friend who invited me.
John Mayer is actually pretty good.
John Mayer fucking.
Right?
Rips. I mean, I used to go to John Mayer concerts every summer in high school. I think I read like five of them.
That's a lame.
No. Have you ever? You've never been to?
I've been to a Dead and Co. I've been to Dead and Co. a couple times.
Well, I got to describe. Now we're back to John Mayer. I got to describe the John Mayer concert experience in Camden, New Jersey, every summer. It was either him or Dave Matthews, or a combination of the two.
Well, fuck Dave Matthews. I don't like.
And
Dave
throw
Matthews.
Jack. It's not. I mean, it's not about the music. It's sort of about the music.
It's not
but
about
the whole
music. That's what they always say. That's what they always say to defend their shitty music. Dave Matthews sucks. Sorry,
I'm not defending
freaks.
Them. I'm talking about the experience. And you know what? I'm okay with Dave Matthews. He's pretty okay. We listened to him a lot in the 90s growing up. But concerts in Camden in high school were some of the craziest experiences ever. Along the waterfront. I believe it's still the Susquehanna Bank Center. It used to be the Tweeter Center. It's gone
through a lot.
Have you
been to PNC?
That may be.
It's like a dome. It's an outdoor dome. No, Asbury's good Park? Though. Asbury's good. That's Asbury's the horses or whatever, triple horses or something.
Yeah.
No. PNC, the PNC Bank Arts Center or whatever. It's an outdoor hill with an interior. It's like a semicircle. There's a word for it that I'm forgetting.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. It's like a little amphitheater, like the rich are in the seats in the concrete area, and then there's like a hill lawn area where the plebs all are, and that's the place to be. That's the fucking spot.
This is exactly what it's like in Camden. The lawn is notorious. Many interesting things would go on the lawn at the Susquehanna Bank Center.
It's all about the GA.
Yes. All about the GA. Actually reminds me, now we're on venues. God, I do miss live music. The Mann Center in Philly reminds me of that. And then Forest Hills in Queens. That's one of my favorite
Forest
venues.
Forest is good.
Yeah.
We were talking about on the Kevin pod, the King's Theater is fucking insane.
Yeah, I saw the Rank of Tours there last fall. Incredible show. Shout out to Jack White if you're listening. I think he's a freak.
Jack White's listening. If Jack White's listening, that'd be dope as fuck. Come on the pod, bro. We'd love to have you.
I'd love to talk about your career.
We know the Clash Listen. We know the Clash Listen. We'd love to have you as well.
Julian, Keith Levine, if you're listening. I mean, we're talking about it. We're going to make it happen.
Definitely.
All right, back to the topics. We could talk about
back to Bitcoin. Apologies.
Our boy Rodolfo hit another bingo box off there. Released new cold card bags, and these are pretty dope. They're going to be blue now, or they're going to have blue on them, and it's just more thorough.
They're pretty blue. They're like mostly blue.
It's more thorough tamper evidence. So it's going to be more obvious if your cold card bag has been tampered with in route to your P.O. box, wherever getting it mailed to, wherever you pick it up from. So it's got a serial number on it now. I think you're going to be able to cross-reference. You can use a magnifying glass to check the perforations to make sure the tab matches the bag. Bunch of cool things. And then a pump power up.
There's a separate serial number tab that you can use to measure the width of the bag and the serial number, make sure it matches. If I were to tell you that Rodolfo was as excited about these bags as a little kid in a candy store, you have to believe me, but that is exactly how excited he was. He was very excited about these tamper-evident bags. So I hope you freaks are as excited as he was. I might be a little bit less so, but I dig the bags. Good bags.
No, the more peace of mind you can provide, the better. So that's it's dope to see that the tamper-evident bags are getting better, as well as the cold card that comes in it. Mining shift here. Chinese ASIC manufacturer Ebang IPO'd on NASDAQ, I believe, right?
Yes.
And their ticker is Ebon, E-B-O-N.
Do
not buy it. I do not know any miners personally that have been buying Ebangs. But
how can you trust a group of people that name their fucking company Ebang?
Ebang.
Who does that?
Ebang. Ooh, baby, how she moves. What was that dude's name on American Idol? I forget.
William Hung.
There we go.
How do William I know Hung. That? That's sad.
I don't
I
know.
Shouldn't know.
You
that.
Knew that really quick, dude.
Dude was a fucking sensation.
He really was. Is American Idol still around?
I don't know. It was like season 21 or whatever. I don't know. Simon Cowell fucking killed that. You know, he made so much money off that shit. And they also got the record label deals after the fact on all of the artists. That's the real moneymaker.
Yeah, that. I mean, as if he wasn't making enough money off the Spice Girls, you know.
I'm wasn't surprised he didn't release a shitcoin. That seems right up his alley.
You know, he's made enough money. Maybe he doesn't need to.
Never have enough Gap children shirts.
His shirts were always a little tight on that dude. Our good friends at the Orange County Bitcoin Network, OCBTCN, dropped a video, full node deep dive with the MyNode team, Brian Harrington.
Our boy Catan was on this one.
Catan was on it.
I fucking love Catan. Everyone should go follow him. _K3TAN. Go follow him. Good dude. Makes great guys.
Him and Stefan crushing it at Ministry of Nodes.
And also, they have previous episodes. So this is part of their full node special. They started with me and Stefan talking about full nodes in general. Then they did an episode with our boys at Noddle. Now they did the MyNode. I assume the next one is either the Raspi Blitz or the Ronin Dojo, and then the one after that is whichever one isn't that next one. So go check that out. Very good listens if you're trying to run a node, specifically a dedicated 24/7 low power node on one of these dedicated boxes. You should go. It's a very good listen.
Shout out to the OCBTC crew, doing a lot. to educate people locally in California now with this OTC BTC network globally on the internet. Slush Pool is what I read about in the Bent today, but they released a cool thread this morning that I wanted to talk about, and just because I think it highlights just how drastically the sort of dynamics of the mining world have changed since the last halving epoch in 2016. So around that point in time was the release of the S9, and it's funny going back to the BitcoinTalk.org posts that announced it and seeing the comments and replies to that announcement and a bunch of people being like, oh, I'm never going to get my return on investment on this. Like, I need to turn this around in 6 months. And as we know now, as we stand here today in 2020, the S9 is still running profitably for some people more than 4 years later. And so that just really shows the maturity of the ASIC hardware industry, particularly in the fact that these life cycles are being extended. And one thing that they put in this thread that really stuck up to me is why I decided to write about it is the Slush Pool team is saying that these ASICs are basically like a quasi proof of stake asset that's built into the mining network, which is an interesting thought. Like, proof of stake makes you lock up funds. If in that consensus, this has nothing to do with consensus. Again, it's quasi proof of stake in the sense that miners that are buying this hardware are sort of locking up that hash to the Bitcoin network because they want to get that return on their investment, which is a cool concept. Again, it's not exactly proof of stake, but
fuck proof of stake.
Yes, but like if we're using that as a sort of something to compare to, I think the hardware assets being locked to the network and their hash being locked to the network because the miners want to get their initial investment back is very interesting. And then when you couple that with longer life cycles, it reduces the probability of a 51% attack just from pure profit incentives, which is something I want to explore a little bit more, especially as somebody who's in the mining industry. I've never thought of it in that way.
Fuck proof of stake.
Do you have any thoughts on that, though?
That's just my only thoughts on that. Our boy, fucking Jack Maulers, just released Strike today. He's releasing it right now, I think, on Bitcoin Magazine's live stream.
It's a public beta. It's a public beta. It's released to everybody. I think it's been a pretty small beta up to this point. And I think the only KYC you need is your debit card. Is that correct?
No, but you need phone number and name. And obviously, they have your bank account information. Let's be honest, right? Your debit card info.
I think the debit card may be the only thing you need, and they just no and on phone. The bank to...
He specifically said phone number and name as well.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, it is what it is. It's like KYC. You can pay anyone on the Lightning Network with your debit card for limited tax consequences. This opens up a whole slew of different capabilities. Specifically, I would say the big one for me is all these content creators that are getting demonetized. They can accept Lightning, but their users, their listeners, their readers are paying via debit card, but it's like a reverse payment processor, so they get around the deplatforming, the demonetization. The biggest issue this whole time has been regulatory, so we'll see how he's able to fight this off. If anyone can do it, it's fucking Jack. So we'll see how it plays out. There are four states. First of all, it's U.S. only. And then there's four states that he's limiting. New York is one of them. By all means, everyone should just avoid New York. Fuck Ben Lawsky. He did this to us. But the other ones are interesting. It's like Texas, I think Illinois and Massachusetts.
Texas is an interesting one. Illinois sort of makes sense. Massachusetts is interesting as well.
I'm going to double check right now, but I know Texas is one of them because Bitstein got triggered. Texas, Florida, and Hawaii, and New York. So I was wrong on the other two. I just like made them up. Because fuck Massachusetts. Like, all the Boston freaks, like, go fuck yourself. I love you, but fuck you.
I do not co-sign that message. I really appreciate my friends in Massachusetts, Boston.
I have a lot of close friends. I have a lot of close friends in the Boston area. You can all go fuck yourself. Just everything. You know, you're losing the rivalry. You're losing.
What a good friend. Last point.
Hawaii. That's just, you know, like, they're living in an island in the middle of the Pacific and they just get fucking slapped by Jack. You know, like, fuck you.
You're getting really heated about these excluded states.
Look, there's only one person drinking here. Someone's got to get heated.
Well, I'll get heated on this one. Our final topic. This happened, I think this news became public either while we were recording last week or the day after. But interesting story out of China. There was a jewelry dealer that put up gold as collateral to get loans to extend their business, and their loans were falling back on their loans and had to pay them back, and their collateral got called, and the institutions holding their collateral actually checked the gold to make sure it was gold, only to find out that a good portion of it was gilded copper, which is not gold, obviously. And so this just highlights the advantages Bitcoin has over gold, specifically the fact that it is extremely cheap and easy to verify with a line of code.
This wasn't just any jewelry dealer. Wasn't it like billions of dollars worth of collateral?
Well, so they took that out a $2.8 billion loan.
What the fuck?
Not all the gold was gilded copper.
That's a big fucking loan without verifying, man.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of it. Like, so if you're using Bitcoin, a lot of people think, I think I fall into this camp too, that Bitcoin's path to becoming a dominant reserve asset is its use as collateral in lending markets, and Bitcoin is far superior collateral for this reason exactly. You can throw it in a multi-sig or a single sig for that matter, which I wouldn't recommend if you're going to be using Bitcoin as collateral for a loan. Probably want to use multi-sig, but it can be immediately verified by the lender. And
if they use their own note.
Yes, if they use their
own note. This is one of the reasons it's important to use your own note, freaks.
Yeah. And so that's a pretty, like you said, that's a huge fuck up.
So, Marty,
scale.
I will ask you again, is gold a shitcoin?
Yes, it is.
Oh, shit, we got him. We got him, freaks.
Wasn't I supposed to admit this like 3 months ago?
Yeah, and then we forgot. We kept forgetting. But you were supposed to do a mea culpa about it. We got it now. We got it now.
Better
freaks.
Late than never. Bitcoin's more divisible, more portable, most importantly, verifiable if you need to. And this case out of China just really highlights that.
In the long term, gold will trend to zero on Bitcoin terms, along with every single other asset on this fucking planet.
It's been an interesting chart. I think Tur Demeester has been posting it pretty frequently recently, is Bitcoin and gold terms, and it looks like it's at a critical. Actually, I'm not even going to get into the trading.
Well, it's a little bit fucked up because he starts it from like the beginning, and like Bitcoin's going through its adoption phase, so it seems more aggressive. But yes, I do agree that it is trending to zero long term, along with every other asset. Alternatively, Bitcoin is designed to pump forever. These mean the same thing.
Well, and I'm happy you said that. Here's an explanation of why it is designed to pump forever. Our good friend Pierre Rochard succinctly packaged this in a tweet last night that I was actually very impressed of. I wanted to write a section on the Bent about it this morning, but didn't get around to it. If global productivity continues to increase decade after decade, there will never be a Bitcoin quote-unquote top at full adoption. Why? Because purchasing power will steadily increase thanks to productivity-driven deflation. Even the last adopters will benefit from saving Bitcoin. So it's a combination of Bitcoin's hard monetary policy, its scarcity enforced by the protocol rules, and the fact that humans are becoming smarter and smarter and creating technologies that make us more productive and create a deflationary environment for technology and products. So the combination of that scarce monetary good and the deflationary pressures of technology improving and humans becoming more productive will ensure that Bitcoin pumps forever in purchasing power.
I think every person, I mean, I'm just agreeing with Pierre here, but in layman's words, I think every person benefits from Bitcoin. Just the early adopters will obviously benefit more.
What, I think you're agreeing with him. I don't think you're.
That's what I said. I said I think I'm agreeing with him. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was just speaking in layman's terms.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to end it. Bitcoin will pump forever in purchasing power.
Bitcoin is designed to pump forever. We're not sure if it will pump forever.
That's a good point. Not a
definitive statement that I'm not willing to make.
I think cat's out of the bag, man. I don't know. We'll see.
Just trying to be responsible here, Marty.
One thing, actually, not the last thing.
That is big.
We don't know if it's big. We can't verify. It's hard to get good information out of China.
We're talking about different things.
Oh, what are you thinking?
Well, we could talk about the Three Gorges Dam first.
Yeah. So, I mean, apparently there's some reports coming out of China. The Three Gorges Dam, which is one of the largest in the world, is experiencing a lot of stress as China endures another rainy season. It's supposed to rain for the next 6 to 9 days, I believe. And there are reports are coming out, again, hard to verify, that the dam has been, they're releasing flood water from the dam downstream, which has caused a lot of flooding in cities that were not made aware by the CCP or the people around the dam. Rumors going around that the dam's close to breaking. There's some satellite images out there, but there's a lot of people are saying that can't depend on those because they may be manipulated a little bit. Regardless, if that dam does break, 400 million people would be in danger or in harm's way, which is insane to think about.
And a lot of ASICs would be fucked.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. There's potentially a material amount of hash rate in that floodplain as well. That could be it could get washed out. I don't know exactly how much hash rate, but it wouldn't surprise me if that did break, that it could affect Bitcoin by wiping out some hash rate.
But that wouldn't necessarily be negative. I mean, like, obviously it would suck for the lives lost. But it would distribute mining.
Yes, but it could have, like, I mean, depending on where miners are in the world, if they're being, like, if there's unplugged miners being delivered to miners right now, or if there aren't, it could be pretty big headache between the next difficulty adjustment.
We'd have slow blocks for a while.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Possibly more.
Yeah, and then on top of that, like, Wuhan would be, like, the first major city. I know there's some ASIC manufacturing factories there, so it could disrupt the supply chain, too, obviously.
Poor Wuhan.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, praying it doesn't happen.
Also, Hong Kong kind of got the death knell this week, which sucked.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Broke my heart. Basically, China's just like, yeah, don't talk shit on us. We'll come get you.
I love that city. It's just another reminder that we have to focus on the things we can change, which is empowering individuals through free and open source software.
Yes.
What I wanted to bring up was Bitcoin 2020 has officially been rescheduled to 2021, and they're not going to call it Bitcoin 2020 in 2021. They're going to call it Bitcoin 2021. It's going to be April 30th. And it's going to be in Los Angeles instead of San Francisco. Tony Hawk and Nick Szabo will still be present. And we'll be either giving interviews or keynotes. I'm not sure how that's going to work. And it's going to be in LA instead of San Francisco. Did I just say that? I'm not sure. But either way. LA is way better than San Francisco. I was hoping it was going to be in Nashville. They know I wanted to be in Nashville. Hopefully Bitcoin 2022 is in Nashville. We will see.
I'm not the biggest fan of LA or San Francisco.
Yeah, but LA is way better than San Francisco. It's the better Californian city. It is known. Everyone knows that. If you ask people in San Francisco, they will say it too.
But I'm torn between my love for the ocean and the beach, which San Francisco has, but it's better in Southern California, and the wine country. Like, I love wine country, dude. It's so dope up there.
That's true. The, LA does not have wine country.
No. All right. I didn't drink any wine this podcast.
I've been drinking Oban 14.
Shout out to the freaks from the planet Flatulentaz. Terrible
fart
planet
city.
Name. Hard to read. Yeah. Shout out to you freaks. If you guys are liking this, smash that subscribe button. If you want to get a shout out on air, you can do so at tftc.io/contribute. Subscribe to the newsletter, Marty's Bent. When you subscribe to that, you're going to get the SAT standard as well. What did you think about the chart and the SAT standard? Didn't get your comment on it. I put it together this weekend.
You did a good job this weekend. I usually put together the SAT standard, but Marty did it because I proposed to my lady.
I didn't know that was going to be public.
I wasn't going to tell people, but if they listen this long, they can know. She's, we all talk a big game, but she's the ultimate hodler. We started dating in fall 2015. So if you've been around, you know, she got in at a good time.
Well, congrats to you two. I'm very excited for you two. Hopefully you can join me on Father's Day next year. Let's get quick.
Dude, you're worse than my grandmother.
Wait,
Marty already wants the kids.
We need strong families. That's what we need to focus on. Go forth and spread your seed. And we'll end it on that. Peace, love, freaks.
Love you all.